Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
It's 3 o'clock on Dukes and Bell.
I find it interesting.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We're going to give you a chance to win some All Elite Wrestling tickets coming up. We've been giving those away all week long. They're going to be at State Farm. And then, of course, we still have Mike Bell Rolling Stone tickets to give away between now and 7.
Can't you hear me knocking?
Yeah, man, we're going to be ready to roll. So get ready for that. I could have done Start Me Up, but that's easy. And, you know, I got to be honest. I don't need to hear that song again. I'm an old school guy.
Well, you know what? You're going to hear it.
Although old school, that was 1981. But anyway, Stone's tickets are coming up for Mercedes-Benz. It's going to be the hottest ticket in town.
And all you have to do, by the way, is be listening. It could happen between, like, now. It's not. Or 7 o'clock, okay? And the deal is, all you got to do is hear the Stone song. Mike just sung one for you.
That doesn't count. By the way,
it doesn't count.
Bad impression, that does not count.
But when you hear that song, be caller 9, and you're going to win those tickets. So more on that coming up, but I do want to let you guys know
that. Because it's only rock and roll, but I like it.
But I like it. Hey, we were talking about the big win last night for Georgia Tech. Our man Deshaun came in here. He covers college basketball for 92.9 A Game, and he was saying he thought that maybe Mike, they might storm the court. And then he thought again. He said, "Nah, I didn't think they would.
I thought for a split second when I got a buddy of mine, okay, my one friend who's a Tech alum, other than Chris Cotter, who was calling the game, I got a guy's like, yeah, man. He goes, what a great win. I go, yeah, Pastor's, we said it earlier. I mean, okay, build off it. Pastor's not really going anywhere. He's locked into that contract. But, yeah, the idea of them storming the court, first off, you'd have to get right. We're going to storm the court. But first, everyone over the age of 65,
okay,
would you please move from your courtside seats?
You stop it.
Hold on. I don't want to break my hip. Let me get out of the way, and then you storm the court.
It's a good win. But, no, I didn't expect him to storm the court. But if they did, I would have been fine with it. But he was just saying that, seeing him win. And then he said, it's the first time they've beaten a top 10 team since 16?
16, a UVA team that was top 5. So it's a top 5 Louisville squad. And it's nothing to sneeze at. And it's certainly more impressive than anything that that Georgia has done of late. As we talked earlier about, Tom Crean not getting it done. And another bad loss for the Dogs against South Carolina.
All right, man. Dog reports on the way at 4 o'clock right now. Let's get to an NFL Blitz!
Dukes and Bell.
Yeah, there goes a no-hitter. Craig is claiming there's software issues with the computer. I don't know. I know what I heard, Carl.
It's a fumble. Yeah, that's what that was. Good. It was a fumble. Okay? Then he tried to get on it.
It's definitely a false start. It's 5 yards. Now we're first and 15.
Priority Men's Medical Center. They bring you our NFL Blitz segment. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. I tweeted this out yesterday. I was kind of being a smart A, but then I kind of wasn't. Because Antonio Brown is apologizing to everybody.
Doesn't he have to do the big one, get with Robin Roberts or Gail King and do the whole, Oprah? R. Kelly? Yeah, Oprah. Cry on TV. That way everybody sees it. He's doing it piecemeal. I think he's doing it a little too low budget.
Well, here's the thing, too.
Not that he owes me any apologies.
Oh, he owes me an apology.
But if he ever wants to get back in the NFL, if you want to get back and have Roger Goodell finally wrap up whatever this investigation is about what you did or didn't do with these women, you got to go and apologize on TV. And then, but don't apologize for that specifically.
Yeah.
Just apologize for embarrassing the league and being a bad teammate. Talk to your lawyers first. But then that looks good in the court of public opinion.
Yeah, that's what he's done. He's gotten advice from people that are around him. Yeah, he's done a good job of that. Let me tell you this. There's a guy that follows us, and he tweeted me this yesterday, and he said, "Dukes, just don't talk about it. He'll go away." No, he won't. We've tried that. And here's the other part. Think about the news cycle and people you want to stop talking about, but you can't because they won't shut up or they don't go away, and you have to somehow, some way, find a way to mention them, okay? This is sports talk. This is what we do. So Antonio Brown at one point was the biggest wide receiver in the National Football League. And now he's going through this stuff, and he won't shut up. So, no, you can't get away from it because here's the deal. We still don't have resolution.
Yeah, I mean, in the month leading up to the Super Bowl in South Florida, you had him throwing little weenus-shaped gummy bears at police. You had him throwing rocks at a moving van guy. You had him, you know, meeting with the NFL again. So, yes, Antonio Brown now saying that he wished he could have been a better teammate. And, you know, yes, he agrees now that maybe Ben Roethlisberger wasn't the best or wasn't the worst. Now he appreciates his lot in life. Either way, I have a hard time seeing this guy playing in the NFL. Because Rodgers, what do we call it? Japanese inspection, where the lettuce just sits on the dock for 6 months before they get around to looking at it. I just don't think Roger Goodell is going to have him back in the NFL anytime soon.
He apologized to Ben Roethlisberger. That was like a written apology. Mike mentioned he went on the radio station in Pittsburgh. Here's my question about this, and we're talking about Antonio Brown. Do you believe any of it? Is this a case now, Mike, where, oh, crap?
Well, you got to hit rock bottom, but I do, and I'm not kidding. I do think if you are as high-profile a guy as AB, you've been one of the storylines to the NFL's detriment on their 100th anniversary season all year, do it big. Talk, you know, get the venue, clear the questions with your people, but do it big in a big network show.
Clear the questions. No, you can't ask Mr. Brown about that.
Hey, it happens all the time. And some networks say no dice. And some says, all right, we'll take it.
All right, man. Moving on. What do you think about Jameis and this whole vision situation?
Well, one could argue that Jameis's eyeballs have been a problem because he seems to find the other guy and the other team and throw the ball to him. But if the LASIK, and some people said it's just, and I don't buy that. I read in a bunch of, because I was reading Who's Our Boy, Rick Stroud, down in Tampa. And I always read the listener or the reader comments to see what people are saying. And there were Bucks fans going, pathetic attempt to prove that he can actually worthy of one more shot. Like, you can really see now. Well, I don't know if that's going to have any bearing on the decision the GM is going to make along with Bruce Arians. But did you give him any pass that he may have had a problem with his eyeballs?
No, because that just doesn't happen, does it? I mean, are you telling me in the middle of the season? He should have had the goggles like James Worthy used to wear back in the day.
Now,
if that happens in the middle of the season, you get corrective eyewear some way, somehow, and you go, hey, what's going on with Jameis? He's having a difficult time seeing. Because then I would have justified the 30 picks.
Right.
But I can't do that now after the season, and then you say, hey, man, I got an issue with my vision, and I'm going to get LASIK, and then it'll fix everything.
Right, Rodrigo Blankenship type goggles, right?
That's all I'm saying.
But in the case of Jameis Winston, if his eyesight has become an issue, okay, he didn't have any problem with his eyeballs with his national championship season in Florida State, but he didn't have problems with the picks the first two seasons. It's just he's just gotten worse and worse and worse.
So,
but I will say this, though. LASIK for some athletes, because even though it's 99.9% good by this point,
right.
I've got a friend. We've got a mutual friend in the business, Scotty Farrell. He got LASIK years ago.
It was did.
20 years ago.
It hurt.
And my eyes are still messed up. Oh,
it hurt.
Beer shot.
So I just don't know if everybody trusts the process.
He speaks like that, by the way, if you've never heard him. That's why we're making that. It's not like we're making fun of him. That's how he sounds.
Scotty Burrell.
That's
it's a Thrasher goal.
but yes. So here's the part, though, real quick. Bruce Arians says that at the end of the season, he got goggles that he practiced with sometimes. It's unclear to what degree, if any, vision had effect on his accuracy issues. Well, then if he's practicing with them, Mike, wear them in the game.
But Jameis is such a meathead. And look, again, big Jameis. I've lobbied for this guy and I've defended this guy much of his career, even in the worst moments.
You think he's gone?
If you can't see and you need guys, why aren't you wearing him in the game? You just said a 30-30. Not 30 stolen bases and 30 home runs.
30
the worst kind of 30-30.
30 interceptions.
I think sometimes he's like a child. I don't know how else to explain it.
All right, man. He did donate $100,000 to his hometown athletic program. His high school, which
is great.
Cool. Yeah, and Hueytown Middle School. He gave $50,000 to his mother, Loretta's alma mater, which is Miles College. We've never said Jameis doesn't have a good heart.
No, and the kid, if you know the backstory, he grew up at poverty, below the poverty line. It was bad. I think if you look at the talent and you look at all the chances they've had with him, and I don't mean chances off the field, short chances on the field.
Yeah.
I just think you got to move on. I just don't. Bruce Arians, the quarterback whisperer, couldn't make you better, you know, and you've got two of the best wide receivers in the league, good tight end core. I don't get it, right?
Yeah, man, it's going to be an interesting decision once they do make that final decision on him. Hey, let's hear from Tom Telesco, Mike. You know who he is? He is the general manager for the San Diego, check that, L.A. Chargers. Now that we know they're moving on from Philip Rivers, listen to what he said, because everybody's like, well, of course they're going to draft a quarterback. Telesco says, well, You know what? I mean, we've got some guys.
We do like our internal options right now. Tyrod Taylor is a player that's won in this league. You know, we think he has a style that can fit what we do. And, you know, we have some high hopes for Easton Stick. You know, Easton's still a young quarterback that has a little ways to go. But, no, we have a lot of confidence in Tyrod Taylor.
All right. Stop.
Why can't GMs just be straight with people?
Come on. Okay.
And Tyrod was in a bad spot because you knew he was going to be a stopgap in Cleveland for that one season. But and the guy, when given the opportunity, took Buffalo to a playoff appearance.
He did.
You know? But no one really sees that as a long-term solution for the Chargers.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, and I get, you know, if you want to show respect to the guys in the organization, that's fine. I'm not believing Tom at all. Hey, let's hear from Dave Tepper. This is the owner of the Carolina Panthers. Okay. Here was one of his comments about Cam Newton. I just want you to hear what he said.
Listen, I'm not a doctor. You know, I said it a million times. Is he healthy? And how does – I mean, he's not a doctor. So, you know, there's a lot of different things can happen. But first is he healthy? Tell me that, and then we can talk.
So Carl and I chopped this up yesterday. I think he wants new everything. I think he wants spiffy new stuff. And I think he's going to want a new franchise quarterback. And we said it. It's not like he's lying, Carl, when Cam is 100%. But when is the last time in the last 2 years you can say Cam's been 100%?
You can't.
You know? And we know what he's capable of, an MVP season and being one of the most exciting guys in football. But it seems like that's a distant memory.
Yeah. And I don't blame Dave Tepper. I think that tone tells you this is business. Like, he's not, well, you know, guys, we're kind of waiting to see what Cam's going to look like. That's business.
If I'm a Carolina fan, you know, we talked about this with Joe Person last year. I mean, as we said, all the great things, and this is not, again, not a knock on Cam because we've had him on the show and he does amazing stuff off the field. He's everything you want in a teammate and a player, but you're going to go through another season by the third week. Oh, he's got a knee injury, and now he's out again. And now, you know, I just don't trust him physically. And I'm just curious to see who is going to be willing to do the trade and what's that Cam contract going to look like, which he's going to need when he goes to another city.
Speaking of quarterbacks, any interest in Andy Dalton?
Because none whatsoever.
The Bengals say they will work with Andy Dalton, the ginger, on a trade. Duke Tobin's their player personnel guy. He said, discussing the team's plans for the quarterback last month, that, you know, the team would do anything that Dalton will not do anything that he's uncomfortable with. Meaning, if you know, we're going to try to work a trade, but if you're not uncomfortable or you're uncomfortable with it, we won't do it. I don't believe that, Mike. I think if you have a trade partner, whether a guy's comfortable or uncomfortable. Now, I think, you know, they're saying this again out of respect. Dalton's been a longtime guy there. They drafted him. Just was never as good as they thought he would be. He's had a couple of coaches now. It's time to turn the page.
You know, he had some good years, you're right. But that team, and just, you know, you remember, they hadn't won a playoff game. You got to go all the way back to, like, Boomer Esiason days. That's how long it's been. The other story about a quarterback, you mentioned the L.A. Chargers. There was a story earlier today, which has since been squashed, that the Lions were looking to shop Matthew Stafford. And one of the teams that was mentioned were Chargers, Indianapolis Colts, Buccaneers. Colts makes a lot of sense because they gave Jacoby Brissett a tryout, and they don't feel that he's going to be the guy after that full season. What about that? Well, an agent put it out there, according to Pro Football Talk. They don't know who. They just get the rumor mill going, because this could be the wackiest, you know, quarterback-related season, Carl, as far as guys being drafted and guys being traded and moving around. But what about the Lions and Matthew Stafford? Should it come to a head and they move on from Matthew Stafford?
Well,
who's got all the talent and all the skills, and they've never won jack.
No, they haven't. And, you know, Bob Quinn's their general manager. Obviously, Matt Patricia now, and they're trying to get some of this Patriot magic juice, because both of those guys, you know, you talk about the Patriots, you know, the tree. And these two guys are aware of that, and I think, Mike, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. Now, I've said this. I've been critical of Matthew Stafford because, you know, again, he got a big contract when he's never won a playoff game. There's a difference, and this is the thing. When guys talk about Matt Ryan and they want to – Matt Ryan is an established playoff winner. When you're talking about giving a guy $30 million and he's never won a playoff game for you, that's kind of the Dak Prescott thing where you go, well, he's never thrown 30 touchdowns. Oh, he just did for the first time in his career. There are certain marks I think you have to look at as a quarterback to go, this guy is worthy. He's shown us these things. You're not saying that about Pat Mahomes, who now has won playoff games, who now is a Super Bowl champion early on in his career, thrown for 30 or more touchdowns multiple years. You see where this is going. And I've always been critical because I thought Matthew Stafford, with that said, no playoff wins. I don't know why the hell you're playing him. But I'll give him the benefit of the doubt because he had a serious injury.
Yeah, I do think Matthew Stafford on the right team, just like Cam Newton goes to the right team with a good defense. And, I mean, like, you could argue he had one at Carolina. But, I mean, the right fit, the right running backs. You know, they just now starting to get around to getting a running game in Detroit, which has always been missing. So, maybe, Chargers for Matthew Stafford isn't the worst because he's still got a cannon for an arm when he's healthy. Speaking of cannon for an arm, we mentioned this the other day. Ben Roethlisberger not getting any younger. The general manager for the Steelers, Kevin Colbert, says rehab is going right, and they think Roethlisberger does have two more good years. He's 38. Big Ben, by the way, put on the Mountaineer cap. He was sitting courtside for a basketball game. He has the big beard going, so the crowd went nuts. But you buy in Big Ben to have one more Super Bowl run in his body.
I think Tomlin did an amazing job of coaching those guys better. I mean, they went in the tank like we did. We never returned. And they kind of worked themselves out of it. I give them a puncher's chance, Mike. I got to see what else they're doing in Pittsburgh before you could truly say. Because, again, as good as Ben is, these guys are not as good as they once were. And, you know, we said this, Breeze is losing arm strength. I got to see him come back and escape pocket, pressure and do all the things that Ben does. I'd give him a puncher's chance, though. I've always liked his ability.
But it's an interesting time in the NFL because we talk about, Lamar Jackson MVP, previous MVPs, Mahomes. Kyler Murray might be an Ozon guy to be an MVP next year with the Arizona Cardinals.
Lamar, by the way, first pick in the fantasy draft next year.
You're not picking first this year for once.
Jerk. No, I was not last in the league.
I believe that honor goes to...
I was not last.
I believe it's Drunk Larry is dead last this year.
I'm just asking. I mean, you got me thinking about all these quarterbacks and movement.
We have a trophy.
Lamar has got to be number one.
We got a trophy for first place and last place in the Shenanigans League. Artie's got one down at Vortex down here in Midtown.
I got one a couple of years
ago. You got the skunk, and Drunk Larry gets it this year. But, yeah, man, we'll see. I might... You know what? I think I might go because the yards he's putting up is insane, on the ground in the air.
Yeah, I'm just throwing that out there. All right, man, coming up. Can Folti be the guy the Braves rotation needs him to be? We're going to talk about it next on Dukes and Bell. It is Dukes and Bell coming up. We're going to get a chance to talk to Nick Green, Mike. Fox Sports. We'll talk some MLB with him. We'll get his thoughts on this whole Astros thing, which we'll talk about here in a second. But more importantly, what he thinks about the Braves and this pitching staff, which gets us into can Folti be the guy the Braves expect him to be? It's one thing, and here's the thing, guys. It's one thing to say that what Fried and Soroka did last year was an aberration, right? Like, man, they were really good, and then they come back this year and they're not as good. I don't believe that. You see there's going to be a progression and an uptick here with these guys, and you think, like most of us, that Soroka and Fried are going to continue to get better. The thing with Folti is he was great, and then he had this thing that happened because he was just an all-star a couple of years ago, mm-hmm. Mike. And then, the control or the placement issues, however you want to describe it. And then they put him down at AAA, and he's down there in Gwinnett, and he's working, and he comes back. And you guys know this. At the end of the season, we go, man, this looks like the Folti of the all-star guy we got a couple of years ago last season. And you go, you felt really good. And then he gave us a great start in the playoffs. And then he had a stinker.
Yeah, and it was one for all time. So I'm just curious. We think his head is where it needs to be. Like, he's a... Say, call it what it is. He's a goofy dude. Okay, a lot of baseball players are. It is what it is, my brother. He should be a left-hander because he's goofy that way. He's now for his career 3 games over .500. He's supposed to be the man, the ace. I think Soroka's kind of supplanted him as that guy now. I'm a big fan of Max Fried, but the Folti, I presume he'll be able to just get back to work and from all the other guys on the team. That last game, that game five, didn't happen. But now you got to see who's going to step up. Kyle Wright, we've talked about him. You've talked about Ian Anderson. We've talked about, and now Sean Newcomb getting another chance to show he can put it together for more than two or three innings at a time because now we're going to have to wait on Cole Hamels to get ready. And don't forget, King Felix.
King Felix.
Whatever he can do.
He went 2-5, Folti did. 6.3 ERA in his first 11 starts. And then he was, 6-1. And then you talk about the 2.65 ERA in his final 10 starts. And he said, I had to learn how to pitch through that fear. And this is what we're talking about, that fear of not being able to put the ball where you want. We've had Smoltz on. We've had all these guys, these great pitchers over the last 18 months talking about the mental aspect of pitching. And they all tell you it's 95% mental. Like, all these guys physically can pitch, but once you get in your head, Mike, about things and you start worrying about stuff and, that was on the outside of the plate. Okay, I got to get it. And now you're trying to aim the ball instead of pitching. Those things played last year for Folti. So To me, this is a big question mark. I mean, we're talking about Ozuna and all these guys, Ozuna in the lineup. This is a big question mark for me if he can continue to be consistent.
You know, again, put away the NLDS. The dude won 12 starts in a row at one point.
Yeah.
You know, 13 to 14. The guy was on fire for the Bravos through July and August, so and into September. So that's a great sign. You know, once he finally came back from the minors, we were waiting to see. Remember, we were dogging about, like, yeah, Pittsburgh is really hot. And then, well, you know, I get low blood sugar. Eat a Snickers. You know, if he didn't like to eat during the game or whatever. He's got all these idiosyncrasies. That aside, you know, we're talking about quality starts. You know, only a few games, even the games where he didn't go five innings, they were still winning. The Braves were winning 12 in a row, and that's what helped win the division.
Alex Anthopoulos said he was our best pitcher over the last 2 months of the season. And I would agree with him on
yep.
that.
Oh, I'm looking at the numbers right now. You are correct, sir.
So, you know, we thought it might be Dallas Keuchel. It wasn't. It was this guy. So
ERA, by the way, I'll sort of cut you off.
No.
From a 6.86 at the end of May, and then he, you know, got it together, into a 4.54 at the last weekend of the season with all those wins I told you about.
So Folty is a big part of this, and when we say can he be the guy the Braves rotation needs him to be, I don't care if he's the third starter, but he needs to pitch like a one. And the year he goes to the All-Star game, he was legitimately our one on this staff. I think we're seeing Soroka and Fried turn into those guys, but I need him to pitch like a one, because if that happens, Mike, with the way what we got from last year from Fried and Soroka, now you're talking about a formidable 1-2-3. And then however the rest of the rotation plays out, so be it. You know, if we do get something from Felix,
Hernandez, yeah.
Yeah, then that's great. If we get something from whoever else ends up making this rotation, because right now it's up in the air, but we need those three guys to pitch really well, and that's the part. It just can't be Soroka and Fried. It has to be Soroka, Fried, and Folty.
Right, and that you're right, because you go back, everybody wants to see, and we think you've got it, and we're still waiting to see who the other guys are going to be, but that rotation you had in the 90s, where you had all, you know, everybody, there was no off night when you're facing the Braves. So, you know, Julio Teheran was a guy that you knew what you were getting. He had a nice little run for a few weeks, and then he got back to where the velocity wasn't there, the movement wasn't there. And we used to say with Julio, you know, when the ball goes straight, it goes very far. So now we're going to see if Felix Hernandez can resurrect his career the way that Anibal Sanchez did for us, you know, and hopefully not be Bartolo Colon. Remember that trip? And as we said, and John Smoltz, if you missed the conversation, you'll hear it later. He agrees. I think we like Newcomb's stuff is electric when he's on, when his head is on straight.
Right.
You know, so can he get back to it? Because he's got the kind of stuff that he could be a 20-game winner in this league. You know, with the, again, mental. What'd you say? Mental.
Mental.
95. Get your take care of your chicken.
And your mental. Yeah, 95% of it. Hey, let's shift gears real quick. And we're going to ask Nick Green about this coming up in 30 minutes. So stay right there. Fox Sports South and covers the Braves and MLB. The Astros players got a chance for the first time to address the media, all right? And I'm saying the stars, because this is guys that are no longer on the team. It's easy for them to say, hey, I'm sorry, and now I'm a Twin.
Right.
Hey, I'm sorry, now I'm an Angel. But the guys who are still there dealing with it, today was the first day. So Jim Crane is their owner. Dusty Baker is now their new manager. And you still had guys like, you know, Jose Altuve and Carrera and all these guys that we've been, like, in awe of, but as well as, you know, they played. But, Mike, they are going to continue to be asked these questions. Why did you do it? Why didn't you understand how much damage this could cause you and your team and your city and your sport? And why did you cheat your fans? Because that's what you did. And none of these questions today were answered.
And at the end of the day, Carl, just like my dad would say, you cheated yourself.
You cheated yourself.
Thanks, Dad, for making me feel even more guilty. So the owner gets up there, and this is the first thing that Carl and I saw, and I was like, whoa, is this really what we want to say? Asked about, you know, at the end of the day, what was the effect of, you know, having that advantage of using the technology. He said that, you know, at the end of the day, this is the owner speaking, he felt that we won a lot of games because I don't think it had an overall impact on our winning baseball games.
Delusional.
Well, you knowing when an off-speed pitch is coming in your home, you were much better at home. We talked about how good they were. You know, I mean, a best-of-seven series. You know, where it comes down, especially, Carl, that game with this 25-run score between the Dodgers and the Astros, you're telling me that one or two at-bats couldn't be crucial in something like that? So, I mean, I know that we're not saying you're going to award the Dodgers the championship. We're just saying, hey, vacate that sucker. But I don't think the Astros did themselves any favors by the way they handled some of this.
I think it was a PR disaster. I really do. When you have the owner saying, well, it had no effect. Dusty Baker's in a tough spot. And I'll tell you this. Do you guys remember, how you felt after Spygate? When the Patriots got caught, and every time they won a game, you were like, they're cheating.
Right.
Every time, whether it was real or not. And that's what the Astros are going to have to deal with now. When a guy goes 3-for-4 in a home run and you're kind of looking at him like, did you really go 3-for-4 tonight? That no matter what happens. So Dusty's this job to me, Mike, all of a sudden, it's a good job because he's got good players. Right. But it's a hard mental job because you're going to have to keep focused. A bunch of guys that are going to hear question after question all year long about what they're doing, whether it's real or not.
A.J. Hinch was asked about the buzzers, why, you know, Altuve was so modest. He didn't want his jersey ripped off. Oh, my wife doesn't want to see me in my underpants.
Yeah, don't rip it off.
And everyone thought there's all these photos. You guys have seen it now where it looks like there's something that's taped inside the jersey on his right shoulder. Aroldis Chapman, who gave up the home run in the Yankee playoff game, said, hey, man, everybody, I don't need to say anymore. Everyone's talking about it. You've seen it. There's a video that's out there. So he was being a little passive-aggressive on it. And by the way, I love what Peter Moylan, former Brave, who's always got a great sense of humor. You see him on Fox. There's a picture of Carlos Correa talking to the media wearing sunglasses indoors. And Moylan says, you know, nothing says truth like wearing shades inside.
I'll do it, but I'm not looking anybody in the eye.
Yeah, I mean, this is, if you remember how sheepish and how weak Alex Rodriguez looked in his apology down at, Legends Field?
Which one?
The one, I believe, is 2004 with the Yankees, whenever that one was.
This was when we found out he was
2008,
actually,
whatever. I mean,
when he was using?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so, the owner to sit there and tell you that nonsense about, oh, I don't think it affected him. This is bad, and now a lot of guys are saying, baseball players are saying, they're going to get beaned. John Smoltz told us about how divisive it's going to be in the clubhouse. Reporter's going to be like just digging and digging and digging every single road trip.
Until somebody cracks. It's his fault. Fingers pointing. Yeah. It's his fault.
Talk to Gutierrez. He was doing it more than me. But by the way, first pitch, first game, they getting plucked?
No, really?
A lot of people
now,
are saying
now, you know what?
It.
Now, that's old school. Now, see, for everybody who says, hey, that's archaic.
Right.
You shouldn't do it. Why would you do it now? Seriously.
I'm just saying that you think, I mean, it's Altuve. All right, take your base. I mean.
Would surprise me.
I think you're going to see a lot of guys getting plunked this year.
Wouldn't
I really do.
Me. It would surprise. Would you? Would you throw one?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Of course I would.
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. And again, I know some of you say, well, it's so crazy. Here's the deal. You cheated the game. And you cheated every baseball player that was out there doing it the right way. That's what happened. So, Nick Green's on the way coming up in less than 20 minutes.
He was a pro ball player for a decade. We'll get his take on all that. It's on the way. Coming up in Guy Talk, Carl, I got some interesting stories to get to. And I've also got a tremendous investment opportunity. And I know you and I, we don't really mix.
I mean, how much loot you need?
Well, I got an email today, and it sounds like a tremendous money making opportunity. I want to share it with you.
Well, you know, I'm always down to make some green, Mike, and some more chicken.
You know, our opinion is this didn't impact the game. We had a good team. We won the World Series, and we'll leave it at that.
It's time for fun. It's time for Guy Talk.
Never mind.
It's time for shenanigans.
All right, let's get to it, Mike Bell. It is Dukes and Bell, guys. Follow us on social media, 929 The Game. That's our radio station, Mike Bell, ATL, and I'm at Put 'Em Up, see Dukes. Coming up, we will talk to Nick Green, who is a baseball analyst for Fox Sports South. We'll get his thoughts on the Braves, pitchers and catchers, and this squad as spring training is underway. What do you got working? I want to hear about this investment opportunity.
Yeah, man, I'll just throw this at you because I don't know about you. Do you ever go through your junk mail on your email? Because I've got, I don't even what I pay for now. I use this McAfee or Kaspersky, whatever I use.
Okay.
They filter out all the crap. But
is this spam?
Yeah.
It got
tagged as spam today, but I just, for some reason, I saw the name, and it just struck me as odd. And I said, I've got to check this one out. It was in my inbox, and it was from, Carl, Omar Wong.
Okay.
That's the man's name.
And then Business owner?
Not sure.
Okay.
I opened up the letter, and it says, again, it's being sent to me from Omar Wong. And there's a lot of alphabet soup from the website or wherever the email return address would be. So Omar Wong sends me, Carl, my name is Gerard Sanchez, a real estate agent presently based in India. So it's very intriguing. A lot of exciting stuff going on here.
Yeah.
Apparently, I've received medical treatment, and I've been informed by my doctor that I am going to die. The sad part now is confirmed I'm going to die. He repeats it twice. I've decided to share my wealth to people around the world.
Oh, wow.
So
okay.
All I need to do, Carl, is send him my date of birth, country of residence, and my social security number. And apparently, and then we're going to correspond to get the account number of my bank.
Okay. Okay.
And then he's going to send the money to me.
All right. So send him your most vital information.
He wants to transfer the sum of $24 million to me.
Wow.
He hopes and believes that I am the right person that will use these funds to fund orphanage homes, help the needy and less privileged.
Okay. Okay.
So, again, this is Gerard Sanchez, a real estate person, dying, unfortunately, terminally ill.
He mentioned it twice.
Living in India, but sent to me from an email address to Omar Wong.
Yes, so he wants your date of birth, your Social Security number, all of the information, he's going
to
send you this
and
money.
And he's going to need $2,000 to help process. $2,000 to help process. There's apparently... I'm very confused about how international banking works, but I've been told by my attorney I will need $2,000 to help process.
But he's going to give you $24 million.
I'm going to get $24 million. So what do you think? You give me $1,000.
I'm out.
No, you give me $1,000.
I'm out.
And I put $1,000 in, and we wire transfer it.
And we wait for our account to be filled. Yeah. Okay.
So this is the spinoff of the, I guess what, 20 years we had the Nigerian prince. Remember that? That's why every time I get an Uber driver who's from Lagos, I go, so you're just another one of these oil millionaires who's doing this for kicks? Because, you always remember those, Craig, those emails that, like, I'm in Nigeria, same thing. If you give me the funds, I can get the money out, but you've been chosen randomly to help, obviously.
You know Sid Rosenberg, right?
Right.
Radio guy.
Sid works at WABC up
yes,
in New York.
And he's been around a long time. Years ago, Sid called me, and he's like, hey, I got this amazing investment deal.
First off, it's Sid Rosenberg, so you should have hung up immediately.
This is the deal. So I go, all right, well, what you got working? And to your point, he goes into this whole spiel about, I'm going to need $1,000. But listen, you're going to triple your money in less than 2 weeks. And he goes into this whole thing, and I'm putting him on blast because we've had this conversation, and he knows, I had to hem him up. But that's a whole other story. I said, Sid, send me some information on this. Let my people look at it.
Great brush off technique.
Yes. And then, I'll be happy to see if I want to get involved. So he was persistent, and he got a bunch of guys from around the country to do this and get involved. Lo and behold, Mike, of course, it didn't turn out the way it should have.
Right.
But these kinds of things, here's the point, guys. Be careful. I know that sounds crazy. We're having fun with it, but people actually fall for some of this stuff.
Unfortunately, you'll see it on the 6 o'clock news almost every other night, where there's some poor old lady who falls. I can't imagine how you could have a brain on your head and fall for that. But anyway, it does happen. Hey, man, a new viral video involving air travel. Now we're going to be flying next week. I got a trip coming up this weekend, but Carl and I were talking about this off the air. Maybe by now, if you're listening, you've seen this. A woman posting footage from her American Airlines flight as she reclined her seat, showing a passenger repeatedly punching the back of her seat. And apparently I got to be honest, a lot of people looked at the video and are going after her because she reclined way too fast and way too far back.
Yeah.
Which, if you've been on an airplane lately and you're sitting in coach or regular, even in business class, you guys know, that seat comes back, it's right in your face. And if you're eating or you're trying to drink or something, you can say it's a pain in the butt. So I got to be honest, I'm not really surprised a lot of people are taking shots at the woman described as Wendy. She writes on Twitter, here's a great jackhole. He was angry that I reclined my seat and punched it about 9 times hard, at which point I began videoing him, and he resigned to this behavior. The other jackhole is an American Airlines flight attendant who reprimanded me and offered him a drink. So I think the problem wasn't the guy. I think this woman might be the problem.
I think she might be the issue. And by the way, I'm watching the video again and again. I saw it this morning, and I was curious to know what people think about this, because here's the part, Mike.
He's going Joe Palooka on the headrest for 45 seconds. We've it's a speed bag.
Yeah, but haven't we lost etiquette, though? Can't you, between the seat, hey, I'm going to go ahead and lean back now.
There's
nothing wrong with that.
If you were going to sleep on a plane, but I've always felt, hey, I'm coming back. It takes 2 seconds to cock your head and go, hey, you got your computer? I'm coming. I'm going to lean it back, okay?
That's all you have to do.
What about you guys? I do that all the time.
Now, Craig's in there saying, I don't care who it is. It's my seat. I don't have to tell you anything. No, Craig, this is when incidents happen.
It's common courtesy. It's common courtesy.
This is it happens.
If you're going to recline full back, and again, if you're going to come back like, woof, like 0 to 10, you got to give some fair warning, because you got a cocktail on the tray. Next, you're wearing that thing. So I blame Wendy. Again, the Virginia woman says she suffers from a medical condition, and the man's punching made her flight even more uncomfortable. I'm in pain, she tweeted. I'm grateful for the limited movement I still have, and I shouldn't have to endure repeated blows. So she went for the sympathy card on that one.
Everybody who's seen the video, and the guy, by the way, looks like a total mental patient.
I haven't seen his face because they blocked it out.
He's got a beard. Not that makes him a bad person. Shaved head, glasses. He looks a bit. He looks like he's a little wired for shenanigans himself.
Yeah, I just again, I don't know if this changes the outcome, but if she just says, "Hey, I'm coming back." Maybe he doesn't react this way and you don't have an incident. See, Craig, you're being a tough guy. This is where you're going to get to a fight and right. Air marshals are going to escort you off the flight.
Craig, here's what people are saying that are much more courteous than you. One guy on Twitter writes, reclining a seat into another person's face is just rude. Another, when you recline, you're invading the space of the other passenger and ruining their experience. Another guy said the same thing. He goes, I always give courtesy or a heads up before reclining, to our point we just mentioned.
Yeah, I think this is taboo. I also think taking your shoes off and putting your feet up. Taboo, okay? There
keep
are just some
on.
Things
keep your shoes on.
I don't need, and you don't want to be doing. That's taboo. This is as well. I just think there should be rules to engagement, Mike, when you talk about reclining a seat.
Craig, we're not talking about like a nice, like, pulled back. There's the normal recline. This lady puts the sucker back, and then this dude's like, what the hell? And nowadays, as we said, on most commercial airliners, good luck trying to get up to go to the bathroom, by the way, if you got that reclined seat in front of you. So I'm with this guy. Wendy, you're a bad person. Hey, by the way, speaking of the airport, have you noticed that parking has been easier of late?
No.
I know when I go to the airport in the days when I'm flying and I just got to get there quick in my car, I've noticed there's space available, and so has the airport. They are not going to be increasing the parking. They were thinking about doing a big expansion.
They're not going
doubling to? The size of the deck in the South Terminal. No, because more and more people are using Lyft and Uber.
Okay.
Yep. This was in the AJC today. The increased use of Uber and Lyft driving down the demand for more airport parking. Less people are driving and parking. Revenue, by the way, is down. They are going to have some hotel projects, more construction, too. They're going to be by the airport. But
Wait. Parking revenue's down?
Parking revenue is down.
So then lower the prices, will you?
Well, no, Carl. When revenue goes down, you raise the rate.
Then if you want us to park there and yep. stay longer, lower the rates.
They're losing thousands of parking spaces to make way for airport expansion projects, including you got the hotels going in. I think they're going to put a Hilton in. I've read this in the AJC today. But, hey, I've noticed whenever I go on the daily or economy, daily is more expensive, but there are more spots up there. So no one's going to smash into your ride. Just giving you guys some heads up.
What's the daily rate, by the way, now? Is it $20?
Couldn't tell you.
15?
Put the thing in the car. The ticket goes in.
You're so rich.
No, I'm just saying. It's like you take Uber, it's going to be $28.
I can't tell you guys how much the parking is.
No,
I just take the ticket, and when I come home, I just pay it.
I like the car to be covered, and I like the car to not be an economy lot, so I go daily.
That's what I heard. Did you guys hear that?
Yeah,
I just take the ticket, and, well, I pull out my big, fat wallet.
Yes, I have a performance vehicle, Carl. I got to take care of my baby. Today is the 13th of February. Coach K turned 73 today. Is he losing it? Is Coach K starting to lose it?
Just say things like defense.
Randy Moss turning 43 today. His son, I'm going to the NFL, tight end for LSU, right?
Yes, he is.
Jerry Springer turning 76 today.
Wow.
Yeah, former
Springer Councilman
for Cincinnati. Some would say he's done his part to lead to the decline of Western civilization.
That's true.
Peter Gabriel, 70 today. Sledgehammer. And on this date, in 1866, what happened in 1866? In Missouri.
Why are you looking at me
like that? It was white guys.
I was going to say, why are you looking at me like that?
Jesse James robs his first bank. I didn't say the James gang, but Jesse was in on it.
Anytime you say 1860, whatever, you look at me like, come on now.
$15,000 stolen from the Clay County Savings Association in Liberty, Mizzou. On today's money, they stole about $250,000.
Peter Gabriel's Sledgehammer, one of the best beats. It still rocks. Hey, Live is back, man. It's Saturday, March 28th at State Farm, V103. Huge night of hip-hop stars, Lil Baby, Da Baby, Wale, and more. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster Outlets. For more info, go to the events page at 929thegame.com. Nick Green talks baseball with us next.
Here's my proposition. You have 30 days in which to spend $30 million. If you can do it, you get $300 million.
There's got to be a catch.
Of course there's a catch.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.